Welcome to Giving an Answer, the show dedicated to defending the historic Christian faith. I am your host, Harold Felder, and today the topic is Christianity in China, the personal testimony of Dr. Wood Wu. And let me give you a little bit of background about Dr. Wu. He is a former English professor in China. He is associated with Minorities for Christ Ministry. He has been actively involved in the underground church in China. Today we're going to just hear what he has to say about his background and tell us his testimony. So glad to have you on the show, Dr. Wu. Welcome to Giving an Answer.
Well, thank you so much for this great opportunity. It's my great honor. And first of all, I wanted to tell you, though I'm an English teacher or English professor, my English is my second language. So I don't speak it very well. And so you just have to bear with me if I do not make myself understood. And I'm very happy to have this opportunity to share with my brothers and sisters in this country. I'm from China. I was born there. I'm still a Chinese citizen. But sometimes, by God's grace, I'm able to travel to this country. And often I bring the Bibles and all the spiritual books into China, which is very, very much needed. Okay, let me tell you a little bit the background about my country. In 1949, that is about 58 years ago, China became a communist country. What does that mean? It means that for many years, the communist government was very hostile to the Christian churches. And they closed every church after that and sent many, many pastors, evangelists to the labor camp. And you know, before 1949, there used to be many missionaries, about 7,000. And then they were all kicked out. So for at least 3 decades after 1949, there was nothing mentioned positively about Christianity. And the only thing we learned about the churches, about Jesus Christ, is that it was a tool or instrument used by American imperialism. American imperialists came to China and they wanted to take away our property and our whole land. And why they wanted to bring Christianity at the same time? Because they can enslave people more easily. For example, our Communist Party quoted one Bible verse as evidence why American imperialists wanted to use Christianity. It says, when the people strike on your right cheek, you turn your left. So the interpretation by the Communist Party is that when the foreign powers came to China, take away one province, one city, then we Chinese needed to turn the other city, the other province to them. Of course, before too long, and the foreign powers will seize the hold of whole China. Of course, that sounds horrible. And then, as far as I know, not any young people have any favorable impression about the Christianity. So all the churches were closed down. All the church buildings were turned into schools or hospitals or the offices, but no longer for any people to worship. So they will sometime for maybe 30 years, many people thought maybe the churches in China were totally wiped out. They were gone. If anyone knows a little bit of history about Chinese Christianity, they know, actually, in 600 AD, that was about 1,400 years ago, Christianity was at some point of history introduced to China. Hundreds of churches actually were established in China. But somehow, there was a persecution from the emperor. And then just the churches were wiped out. And so for more than 1,000 years, there was no gospel. Only until 200 years ago, the missionary Marison from England came to China as the first Protestant missionary. So Christians, Protestant Christians, have only a very short history in China. So this time, some people would wonder if this was the second time the Christian churches would be wiped out. But thanks to the Lord.
Now, when this point where there was this big gap where there were no Christian churches, were there any Christianity at all? I mean, was there some underground Christianity, or was there just basically no Christianity, period?
No Christians.
Wow.
Yes, for the next 1,200 years, not any Christians. Were wiped out.
When you say wiped out, do you mean they were killed or
what? They're killed. Churches were destroyed in 600 AD, sometime around there. I don't know. I cannot remember exact date, but it's something like that. So the people were wondering if this would be the second time disaster to churches of God. But praise the Lord that the people overseas and the people inside China who have survived have kept praying for churches in China and for their faithfulness and for their life in Christ. And when the pastors and the evangelists were taken to jail and to the labor camp, what happened is a lot of lay people had to take over the responsibility to share the gospel. So before, it was always that the congregation members would look up to the pastor for everything. And now the members have to do what they were taught, how the Bible had taught us to live our life. That is, we live a Christian life and walk with the cross. So these ordinary members started to share the gospel.
With the Bibles?
There was no Bible. There were no Bible for 30, 40 years in China. Not a Bible at all. So this only the people will share the gospel orally. One to one person. There was no crusade. There was no revival meeting, you know, in the stadium. The only way the people share the gospel and the only way people hear the gospel is one to one, from person to person. So actually, in that way, that is one of the most effective way, because you have to live a Christian life to demonstrate to people what you believe is really worth it, worth all this endure ordeal. So the Christians, they're willing to suffer for their faith in China.
When you say suffer, what type of suffering do they have to endure?
Well, like pastors and evangelists, they will be taken to jail. So next one, for example, if one church leader, now in this case, is a lay leader now, if he's very active in preaching and sharing the gospel, if he's found, he would be sent to the labor camp. So that's suffering. That's persecution.
Have you ever been arrested?
Yes, a couple of times. But compared with those old Christians, my imprisonment is nothing. Now, if you have a job and you identify yourself as a Christian with your job, with your factory or with your school, then you will never be promoted any again. So you will always stay at the bottom of the society.
That's the way it is now?
That is the way before, and now it's improving a little bit, but that's also the situation now.
So you can be a Christian, but it has negative ramifications.
Oh, yes, a lot. A lot of negative prejudice against the Christians. For example, in the military, if you identify yourself as a Christian, you were kicked out immediately in the martial court. They expel you out of the military force.
Now, is this just Christianity or any religion?
Mostly just the Christians, even today.
And why do you think it's just Christianity and not maybe, for instance, Islam?
Because the government, our government believes that Christianity is a foreign religion. So, in their political, from their political perspective, Christians may someday form an ally with American military forces. You see, that's how they think.
Don't they think the Christians would form an alliance with the Americans?
Yes, yeah, because that's a foreign religion, and there are so many Americans who believe in Christian God, and now here comes a group of Chinese people. They believe the same God with those foreigners, and if there is anything that happened, and so how about the loyalty of those Chinese Christians? Which side they are going to take?
Mm.
You see, that's the how they think. They do not want to give any chance to Christians or to any other people, many Christians. So anyway, just now I was talking about before, in the first 30 years, in the first 30 years of the communist movement in China. So all the churches were closed and all the leaders were sent to the labor camp. But around the end of 70s, last century, the Communist Party realized that they failed. You know, they say, "Oh, this Mao's policy is a disaster. It's a total failure. We need to have a reform." That's how the political reform started by Deng Xiaoping. And then also he decided to loosen up a little bit. So he let all those Christian leaders get out of the labor camp and the jail, and then they returned to their hometown. And it was, of course, when I look back, now I know it's a miracle. And I met a Chinese Christian, and he was in the labor camp for many years. And, you know, when he came back home, and he was so nice, he was even trying to help me. He was an English teacher. He taught me English, because at that time, even schools were closed. So I had opportunity to learn English with great advantage over the other people. Then later, I was wondering why this guy, old man, greatly persecuted, but do not have any personal grudge against anyone. So I think there must be something quite unique and different in his life. Then he told me his faith comes from love of Jesus Christ. And then another amazing thing is, so I was trying to learn English. I don't know actually why I would want to a foreign language, because at that time no Chinese was allowed to even to leave their own hometown, not to mention China. Mm. So there was no need to learn a foreign language. The only thing you need to know, the only thing I needed to know was my own dialect. And even no need to learn Mandarin, which is a national language. Then when I started to learn a foreign language, then a couple, an American couple, they came to China as tourists. That was the first time that China just opened the door to the outside world. There was never foreigners in my town before. So they're just ordinary people. But they draw a huge crowd, and I was.
I mean, when you say draw a huge crowd, just because they look different, people would just.
They looked so different, like from another
planet, or something.
Another planet. You know, for the first time, we made face to face some foreigners. So that was in the late 70s. So China started to change, and. So I was very curious, and I wanted to see the English so-called I'm learning was a real language, you know, and understood by people. So I approached them and tried to chat with them in my broken English as it is now. And amazingly, they managed to understand me and my questions. And so we were engaged in a conversation. Then we walked around. Then finally, they they said they are Christians, and they also passed a booklet to me, a Christian books to me. And later, when they came back, actually this couple is from North Carolina, from this state. They now live in Cary, North Carolina. Mr. and Mrs. Smith. So they gave me something to think about. And also, we kept up correspondence for many years, many, many years. And meanwhile, I was still searching. And then later, there were more and more opportunities, more and more wonderful people, just one by one. The Lord take them to my life. So I started to know God and to know Jesus Christ, and accepted Him as my Savior, and realized I'm a sinner. And then the Lord also opened the door for me, that I realized actually there was a huge new world in front of me. That is the underground house churches. And actually, there are so many Christians in China. They meet secretly at the home. And they never give up their faith, no matter how severe the persecution was. So that was really awesome to me. And then, there, I experienced that truly, this God is a mighty God. And is a God everywhere, to every people. And so I joined this underground church and worshipped with them, and also started to serve. And then more and more I realized God has a plan in my life. Of course, I can continue my teaching career, and I can do a lot of other things. I used to even to work for a foreign company in China. So I lived a quite comfortable life, compared with my peers, when I worked for one American company, and my salary was really looked very good. But God has constantly stirred up my heart and forced me to think again and again, what is the real purpose of my life? And I realized really the only meaning for me, I mean, everyone has different revelation from God, which is fine, great. But to me, then I realized I needed to serve Him. Because in China, we have over 1 billion people. And even though there are so many Christians, they worship there, they praise the Lord in China. But still, majority are out the door of God's house. I need to go there to look for that lost sheep. And Jesus said that was the most important thing. So He put aside 99 sheep and then walked a long way just for that one sheep. And there were so many such lost sheep in China. I needed to join this force and then to go and look for them. And so I gave up the career and joined God's army and started to serve Him. So it was wonderful. It was wonderful. And later, then I had the opportunity to come to the States. And also, here is really a wonderful country. I enjoy the freedom here, enjoy the worship service here in every church I visited. But even more than ever, God put that burden in my heart. And God every day is telling me, He says, you know, I raised up some Americans and took some early immigrants, Puritans, to this country, so they started this. And can you start the same thing in China? Not just to enjoy, not just to receive, but also to give. I want you to go back to your own people with my good news. Then I said to the Lord, I said, now look, this is a country of immigrants. You know, everyone can come from the all over the world. They come here 400 years ago, and now today they come from everywhere, and I believe they must be a piece of a pie for me as well. But Jesus told me, yes, everything here, if you want to enjoy, of course you can enjoy. Still, you can be a good Christian. You can serve me and, you know. But my calling to you is definite. And there is something far more meaningful for you, for your life. You need to go. Because you understand your own language. You understand your own people. And the reason why I sent my servant 20 years ago to teach you English was to prepare you so that you can study the Bible here in English, but preach to your own people in Chinese. I said, oh, God was preparing me even 20, 30 years ago. I said, okay, Lord, if that is your will, may your will be done, and I obey. So I went back to China and started working there and working with many, many underground churches. The Lord is just amazing and mighty. And, you know, in 1949, there were only 700,000 Christians. But there were 7,000 foreign missionaries. Maybe more than half of them came from this country. So almost for every 100 Chinese Christian believers, there is one foreign missionary. But today, there were, of course, there were some missionaries in China in disguise. But today, we have 80 million believers now in China. That's over 100 times increase over those years. Over these years of persecution and the restriction. And so only God can do that.
Yeah. Dr. Wu, one of the things that a lot of people may not know who's listening to the show is that this show is also, it's a radio show and a TV show, but we're doing radio, and one of the reasons we're doing just the radio is to hide your identity. And why is that necessary? Why do we need to hide your identity? Is there still issues that, still persecution that will come about if your identity is known?
Yes. Several very close personal friends of mine, they are right now serving in jail for their faith. Mr. Zhang Rongliang, he was sentenced for 7 years, 2 years ago. So he has 5 years more in jail. My brother, Cai Zhuohua, he was sentenced for 3 years about 2 years ago. So he would be released this coming September. And a friend of mine, Liu Fenggang, he was sentenced for 3 years, about 3 years ago. He will be released maybe sometime this month or next month. So one by one, they're all of my personal friends. So I know for sure we'll still have to be very cautious. And even though there is far more freedom than before, than the Cultural Revolution, than what I said for the first 30 years. Now this is the second 30 years. The second 30 years has seen a lot of improvement in human rights and in our living standard, in our well-being, in many, many areas. But still, we have to be on the side of a caution when we preach the gospel.
Yeah, I guess that's my question, because officially, I guess the official stance of the government is that Christianity is legal,
Yes, yeah. In our constitution, they will say we have freedom of religion. Now, what does that freedom mean? You know, it's every person has their own interpretation. It's just like in this country, what does freedom mean? And a lot of people believe, some weird people believe they have freedom even to go and to assassinate your president. So, now, our government's interpretation is you are free only when you are in government-sanctioned churches. So that means the government has approved some churches to be open. So for Christians, they all have to do everything inside that building. If they wanted to do anything outside that building, they have to get a special permit to do it. For example, if I was in a church, I was a church member of this government-sanctioned church in Beijing. If I wanted to preach the gospel in Shanghai, let's say, then I will go to apply for a special permit from the government. The government, of course, will never grant it to you. So what shall be done? Then you stay there. Of course, then to me, I have something higher than that. Of course, I'm a good citizen in China. I obey every law. I'm really a good citizen, even in the eye of the government, if I was not an active Christian besides that. So I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian in Beijing. If God called me to preach the gospel in Shanghai, then I have some money in my pocket for the tickets, then I go. So why I should get a permit from anyone? You know, that's the same interpretation in this country. Do you need to get the permit from the federal court to preach the gospel in Appalachian Mountains? No, you don't. So now that's the trouble. Now in my country, they give you freedom, but they say only freedom inside the building. So it's like a bird. We say a bird in a cage.
Yeah.
Does that bird have freedom to fly? Yeah, he can fly. He can fly in the cage.
And they also, you were saying that they also monitor what you say, what you preach.
Yeah, they can very much do that. So that's why a lot of Chinese Christians resent that kind of worship service in their sanctioned church buildings. Because inside that church buildings, the pastors normally cannot go very far, even the Holy Spirit revealed what they should preach. Because there were some guidelines from the government, what they should say, what they should not say.
Yeah.
So for majority of Christians then, they do not go there. Where do they go? They stay at home and worship at their home. It's just like in the early church. Really, that's the beauty.
Yeah.
We feel very thankful to the Lord that we can worship our God in our home. Every home is a sanctuary. Every home is God's place. So, you know, for one Christian, if he goes to church, he knows God maybe is there, so he behaves himself very well, you know. But when he goes home, he will be quite different. Because to many Christians, home and church are two different places. You'll be a Christian in the church, but once you get home, then it's another story. But now, if your home is a church,
yeah.
So you say, wow, I need to be holy because this place is a holy place.
Yeah.
So that helps us a lot and keeps us more intimate with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Last question I have for you, Dr. Wu. Have you had any regrets? I mean, you've been jailed a number of times. You're always wondering. You're always looking over your shoulder. I mean, I've heard you talk where you go to speak sometimes and you have to actually look and see if you're being followed. And if you're being followed, you have to break off your route or what you were going to do. And Has it been worth it? Have you ever regretted? Have you ever woken up one day and said, this is just really not worth it?
No. Oh, no. And every day, it's just I get more and more excited because I can be in the same boat with Jesus. And all of the other things are trivial. It's not just a little bit inconvenience in my life. And when I see more and more young people or old come to know Christ, and how God can use an unworthy being like me, and I'm just thrilled every day. And I said, Lord, please just keep me going. And I don't know why God can use a lot of people. You know, they are more educated, they're better equipped, and they have big bucks, and I have nothing. But God says, okay, that's the way I want to keep you doing that. You just tell people about me only. So that's what I do in China. And I tell people about Jesus and about Jesus only, about the cross. And we don't know any other thing other than the cross. And so that's, I hope, the people, you know, in this country, we can do this together. And I very often I pray for this country. I tell my people to pray for this country. This is a great nation. But sometimes because God gives us too much freedom, and then we kind of want to take everything then in our own hand and keep God out of our life and out of our picture. And that's scary because God only allow us to go so far. If we go astray, of course God will, you know, to discipline us and bring us back. Yeah. If we go astray again, he brings us back again. But if we go too far, he might be like to the Pharaoh and say, okay, let him do whatever he wants to do. Then that means they're doomed to perish. And I don't want to see anything like that to happen to this country. Of course, everyone, we are wrong, we make mistakes once in a while. But if God speaks to us, if God speaks to this nation, then we need to listen and come back. So this is a great nation. Of course, anything great from God will be attacked by Satan. So my prayers is that the faithful people, even though not so many, but if they're faithful in their prayers, and please pray for this nation and keep this nation strong and in the track of God. And also please pray for Chinese Christian churches. You know, the last I wanted to say is about this Southern Evangelical Seminary. And this is a wonderful place, and they do a lot of good things to help the people around to build up their faith. And so I'm very thankful that I have this opportunity to visit Southern Evangelical Seminary in Matthews, North Carolina. And the leaders here, Dr. Geisler and Dr. Alex, they're wonderful people. And I wanted to give my thanks to them and to all of these supportive Christians in the United States.
Right. And if someone is listening and someone's saying, well, I want to be involved in that, how can they be involved?
Oh, there are numerous ways they can get involved. If they wanted to get involved with us, simply they can maybe call some people in Southern Evangelical Church. And okay. This church is very supportive. And also, if they wanted to get involved and they wanted to receive some training first, Southern Evangelical Seminary is also a very good place to start. I really recommend this place to anyone.
Yeah, so do I. This is where I graduated from.
Oh, great.
Great. So, I mean, it's been an honor to be able to interview you. I guess that's going to bring us to the end of the show. Dr. Wood talking about Christianity in China, his personal testimony, and that will end this episode of Giving an Answer. Be sure to join me again next time. And until then, goodbye and God bless. The preceding show has been sponsored by Giving an Answer with your host, H.C. Felder. So you can hear this broadcast as well as other episodes by visiting us online at givinganswer.org. You can also order a CD or a DVD of the studio recording by calling me at 704-248-7840. And remember, this show will only stay on the air if people continue to help us buy airtime. So I encourage you to consider making a tax-deductible financial donation to this ministry. That phone number again is 704-248-7840. And be sure to join me again next time on Giving an Answer.